So my name is Jim Steinhardt. I'm on the committee. I'm from WISN-TV out of Milwaukee. And I'm here to introduce Paul Stewart. He's from Summit Technology. Paul's the president and founder of Summit Technology. He's going to talk about some AI solutions that can be used in radio and television. It's pretty interesting. I don't want to start talking about it. I think it's pretty cool, but it's his job to talk about it. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. So.
Thank you, Jim. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me and showing an interest in AI-based air talent. By a show of hands, I assume most of us are engineering and management, but is there anybody here from air staff? Okay, great. I'll start off with a quick introduction of myself and Summit Technology Group and just sort of what we do and kind of what we offer. My background is primarily in broadcast automation, so broadcast software and automation and all the various components that get plugged together to keep a studio running. I'm a self-taught developer, so a lot of the programs that we offer, a lot of the products that we offer, at some point or another started with code base for myself. But then, of course, I let the development team do what they do, as they're far more talented than I am. All right, perfect. This is working now. Thank you, guys. So, Summit Technology Group. Essentially, we're a software manufacturer and have a handful of products that are both text to speech, speech to text, and so on and so forth, as well as radio logging, streaming, and various other cloud-based products. So to give a quick background of what we are talking about when we say AI voices, essentially a synthesized voice is an engine that creates from a vocoder, a sequence of maps that are vocoded in sequence to create what sounds like human speech, and it's done so completely in an automated fashion, and it's done in far faster than real time. Something that would take someone a minute and a half to read can be synthesized in 4 or 5 seconds or something like that. So it is very, very quick. The AI voices that are available are predominantly cloud providers such as Amazon Web Service, Microsoft, and IBM. They all have, essentially the lion's share of the synthesized voice market. And there is a variety of other smaller, what are called SAPI 5 voices. And those are local voices. So that is, if you recall back to the days of Microsoft Sam, and now Microsoft David, those are SAPI 5 voices. They're installed on an operating system and run locally. Today, there are better options than Microsoft Sam and Microsoft David. There are far better options, and we'll get into some of those here in a future slide. Now, where is this technology used? One of the prime examples is if you call a customer service line and you're prompted with an IVR, that IVR might greet you by name. It might know who you are based on the telephone number you're calling from. It might know the service address if it's a utility company. It might know about an upcoming reservation, flight, hotel stay, what have you. That's all generated in just seconds. You call and seconds later, it's got the entire file and it's reading that back to you. Assistive technology, so it's also used for folks with cognitive disabilities or disabilities like ALS, where folks can retain the sound of their voice after they've lost it. It's also used in dynamic paging, mass transit, evacuation notifications, and things of that nature. And of course, the reason we're here is it's increasingly being used in broadcast. The catalyst for the change, the catalyst for it being used more and more in broadcast, is fourfold here. There's of course the year that we just had, prompted it quite a bit. Safety measures and lockdown requirements due to COVID kept a lot of people at home. Broadcasters, air staff, so on and so forth, reduced staffing just based on current shifts in labor market, budgets, and so on and so forth. One of the more interesting ones here is the competition with on-demand media and podcasts. In the past 6 months or so, there's been a number of different print publications that have added a synthesized speech component to their websites so that someone who would normally consume the print version of their news could now do so as a podcast. So it's not recorded by anybody, it's not voiced or anything like that. It's strictly a just-in-time version, audio version of the printed content. And then, of course, increased cost and operation of running a broadcast facility. There's always, we're always looking for a shortcut that doesn't skimp on quality. The various components or the various characteristics synthesized voice. I'm just going to go through a few of them here. Kind of explain what the various characteristics do and how in-depth they can be. And certainly something, hoping this will prompt some questions at the end and we can address those. So the first is standard versus neural. That's the nomenclature that's used to essentially describe how the speech is put together. Standard speech text-to-speech engines rather use what's called concatenative synthesis. So it's essentially it's synthesizing each word, and it's concatenating each of those words, and so the result is the very natural-sounding words. Oftentimes, however, the sentence structure or the speech patterns are still a bit robotic. Neural, on the other hand, uses essentially it vocodes a continuous sentence or multiple sentences when put together, and the punctuation of the delivered text is in large part what helps to determine what components get synthesized together. The result of that is a far more natural sounding sentence structure, inflection, and so on and so forth. Gender, language, and dialect, also three critical components of synthesized speech. There's age is one as well. There are synthesized voices that are clearly children or elderly people, male, female, various languages, and one of the important things to note about the different languages is how there are voices that are available for very nuanced differences. So the example I give there is English GB, so Great Britain, and English Scottish. Those are two very, very sort of similar dialects, but they do have their own characteristics and are regarded as different for a lot of different speech engines. Different speaking styles are also available, dependent upon the particular engine that's used. This can include newscast, so something that certainly has great application in broadcast, and conversational, which is a little bit more casual, a little bit different inflection, and also has a great parlay into use in broadcast. These could be customized even further. There's what's called prosody settings in a lot of different speech engines. This can include the speed or the speaking rate, the intensity, pauses, breaths, pitch, and timbre. And then many engines also allow you, and many connected applications that use these engines also allow you to customize the pronunciation. So you can actually add specific words or pronunciations to a lexicon and utilize that lexicon for synthesizing speech. This is essentially the various applications within broadcast specifically where I've seen this used. I've worked with stations that are using speech engines in this capacity. And so the short form reporting is something that is sort of the obvious. It's what everybody sort of recognizes. Weather, news, sports, market and agriculture reports.
Down 54 overnight tonight. Saturday's high will be in the upper 70s, mostly sunny and nice. Temperatures in the upper 70s on Sunday. For Atmos Weather, I'm Charles Dixon. Have a wonderful morning. Pleasant this weekend. Currently 74 degrees in Madison. Here is your Atmos Weather report for Friday, the 13th day of August. I'm Charles Dixon for Atmos Weather on the 8th. Partly sunny in Madison, and good morning to listeners in Wanakee. Currently partly sunny and 74 degree temps for you.
So that was a perfect example of one of the short form reports, weather reports. Commercial advertising is also something where a lot of folks are in increasing numbers using synthesized speech. It is something that is very easy to use, especially when pushing content to a variety of different stations under single ownership, and being able to sort of customize those messages to the various markets and so on and so forth. Liners and voiceovers, there's not a whole lot of broadcasters currently doing this. However, I have seen a few that are using online platforms to essentially get content and put that over a music bed and so on and so forth. One of the big concepts that I always talk about when I talk about synthesized speech is it's never really a replacement for on-air talent. It's always something to sort of augment that, provide the station with content in overnight hours, unstaffed hours, and so on and so forth. Especially when, again, coming back to the short form reporting and certainly commercial advertising. So, live reads, for example. As we heard just a moment ago, that was one of the weather reports from our product Atmos, and that's a good example of essentially the quality and sound of what what's possible within synthesized speech. Are you able to play it again, or?
Your Atmos weather report for Friday, the 13th day of August. I'm Charles Dixon for Atmos Weather on the 8th. Partly sunny in Madison, and good morning to listeners in Wanakee. Currently partly sunny and 74 degree temps for you. Getting down to 54 overnight tonight. Saturday's high will be in the upper 70s, mostly sunny and nice. Temperatures in the upper 70s on Sunday. For Atmos Weather, I'm Charles Dixon. Have a wonderful morning.
All right, perfect. Some of the various applications that that run on these speech engines or utilize these speech engines to deliver audio allow you to do quite a bit to really personalize the audio that's produced. You know, one of the things is personalizing that script. It's greeting your listener with day parts, dates and times, and that helps to, you know, ultimately establish legitimacy. So is this a, you know, is this a weather report from, you know, a couple of days ago, 18 hours ago? Is this traffic report up to date, and so on and so forth? Generalizing data it really is all about kind of making the listener feel comfortable, like they're talking to a friend or they're listening to you know, a real human, a real on-air talent. Thermometers could tell you the temperature to 1/100th of a degree, but your listener wants to know whether they're wearing shorts or pants or packing an umbrella or sunglasses. So generalizing the data is certainly something where, you know, again, a lot of tools that allow you to tap into this type of synthesized technology allow you to do that, and that's something that, you know, again, makes it a more personable report or commercial. Randomizing delivery. This is essentially taking, you know, the same data and just delivering it in different ways. It helps to, again, just sort of make the short form report feel new, feel fresh, and make the listener feel like there's something that has changed that they need to know about or want to stay tuned in for. And then programmatic cues are something that are also increasingly being used. And a lot of times that'll depend on, essentially the programmatic data will depend on the type of raw data that's available. So within weather, it could be based on the current condition. We're gonna deliver a different script. We're gonna deliver it in a different way or highlight different characteristics of the weather forecast. For traffic or market and ag reports, dependent upon, you know, certain data or how different a data point is, we can point out, we can highlight those differences and kind of, you know, let some of the other information be omitted. The future of synthesized voice is, there's a ton of opportunity, and there's you know, brand new functionality that is being not only developed but being implemented both by broadcasters, webcasters, and other non-broadcast outfits. One of the more interesting concepts that I often talk about is voice cloning. Is you know, again, that ability to, you know, and it's used quite a bit, again, with as an assistive technology for folks with ALS or similar conditions, but it's also really interesting for being able to deliver short form reporting for someone who has retired or is no longer in the market. Or so on and so forth, and so there's a big market for voice cloning, and it can be done fairly inexpensively and fairly easily. You know, a lot of times it's anywhere from, you know, 600 to 1,200 sentences. It's a couple hours of work, but it, you know, certainly can produce a pretty amazing result. Conversational commerce is another thing to be aware of for broadcast, webcast, and sort of that on-demand and OTT market. I believe Pandora is pioneering this right now at the moment. they're essentially delivering synthesized advertisements to listeners based on their consumer behavior. So whether that's a purchase that they recently made and remarketing to them, or marketing similar products to them, messaging based on their location, so on and so forth, their demographic. So conversational commerce is essentially taking the ability to very quickly understand who you are speaking to from a broadcast standpoint or webcast, and delivering delivering that that content to them, speaking a commercial. And then with every technology, of course, that's adopted by broadcast, there needs to be a seamless integration with broadcast automation and newsroom systems and so on and so forth. And so, that's something that, as I'm sure you've seen several platforms and products, over the past several years at various trade shows, and they sort of start outside of broadcast and then they work their way in and have products that serve as middleware to get that content into automation and get that played out. So the final slide I have here before we get into any questions that you might have is essentially where AI voices fall short. As I said earlier in the presentation, at current, AI voices are not a complete substitute for human air talent. They're impeccably similar. They sound, there are some that, just sound frighteningly similar to a human. But the local knowledge and the empathy that a human can have and can that comes through with speech, and you can certainly tell, especially when there's say a morning show on-air contest or whatever it might be, you could certainly tell the excitement of a human being versus that of a computer. I'm not saying it'll never happen. Certainly these are machines that are actively learning and understand to some extent pop culture and everything else. At present time, there's not a complete synthesized answer for the replacement of human talent. So, with that, I'd like to sort of open it up to questions.
Our first one is a text question.
All right. Is this the technology they're using to make these fantastic robo-dials?
That's a good question. So, yeah, robo-dials in a lot of cases are a synthesized speech. Not always, however, are they dynamic. So if it's your car's extended warranty, they might pick up the phone and have a very, very canned response. In a lot of cases, that is just as old, it's an old technology. It's just playing back a file. If someone were to call you and say, hey, when Paul's on the phone, press 1, that is certainly a giveaway that it's synthesized speech and synthesized for that particular application.
It's Mark Persons here. Mark. All of us know that weather forecasts often are 6 hours old by the time the listeners hear them because they were recorded earlier. I could envision a time when the actual data comes from the weather service and is for use at that moment, followed by the phrase, and at 3:41 p.m. the temperature is 72 degrees. That would keep it really current.
Absolutely. As a in our application and in our Atmos weather reporting product, we've built in the ability to essentially offset time by up to 59 minutes. And what that allows the broadcaster to do, if someone's running, you know, a fairly rigid clock, they can synthesize the report at a given time, knowing that they'll play it back, say, 3 minutes later, and it will speak the time that it's playing out, as opposed to the time that it's that it was synthesized. So yeah, you can offset, you know, add a number of minutes to the clock, so that you have that, you know, very timely information. And that's something, again, you know, that you're absolutely right, that gives legitimacy to that weather forecast.
Does your product, going from speech to text, as opposed the other way around, can that then be associated with closed captioning?
Yes. Yeah, what's typically returned with a speech to text, what's typically returned is very, very comprehensive file that includes when every word was spoken. And so not only can we produce, you know, a caption file like that, and do so in a very time accurate manner, but we can also even edit audio based on the position of the word. So, you know, if you wanted to select with a cursor somewhere in the transcript and hit export, that would produce an audio file of what was selected. And a variety of, yeah, it's similar to if you've seen Descript. It's a platform I believe is, you know, mostly for podcasting and that type of thing, where we record in and can kind of do some edits to what was spoken, but do so in a text-based manner.
Oh. You mentioned an audio file for a few minutes later. Couldn't it just be ready to go at just less than a second's notice to just
Yes.
proceed and do your thing rather than record it?
Yes, absolutely. And what's interesting is the largest delay typically in the process of getting a synthesized speech file to air really is automation. It's the ingest middleware, typically runs on a scan interval, and that could be, it could be as low as 5 seconds. It could be, several minutes long, and that's really it's typically user defined. So that's all up to the user and how they configure that. Absolutely, that could be done. Dependent upon how tight the clock is, that's certainly possible. Yeah, the synthesized speech or the process to synthesize speech realistically can do, like a minute or 90-second file in 4 or 5 seconds. So it is very, very quick. And that includes, in our application, for example, fetching weather data and putting the script together.
I don't know if I got this quite right, but my statement was the synthesizer is told to start now.
Mm-hmm.
And can't it just start now, or does it take time? It wouldn't have to record a file, it would just start doing its thing.
So that is possible, typically with local voices. I don't know of any of the cloud-based voices that allow for that, and the reason being is the two methods, one being the concatenative synthesis, whereby it's delivering, you know, it's delivering a file after it has voiced each word individually, and then the neural option, which requires, you know, even if there was a stream available, it couldn't possibly do that because it's looking ahead for inflection and everything else. So that's doing it on the sentence or paragraph level. However, again, that doesn't mean that doesn't happen very, very quickly, and can produce that discrete file very, very quickly. Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess it does. I can envision it not requiring a file. It just plain starts and runs.
Right, and yeah, SAPI 5 file, or SAPI 5 voices allow for that. I just don't know of any cloud offerings that have that functionality. So.
Hi, are you suggesting that with the voice cloning, we could keep, I don't know, Gordon Hinckley or Paul Harvey alive forever?
That's a great question. Yes. So the technology that I'm aware of and familiar with in that regard is something that they give you very, very specific sentences that need to be read. And what it does is it helps to map the phonemes, the smallest, most basic unit of speech. And when you transition from one word to another, that's ultimately what that's looking for is those sort of transitions and how to vocode that appropriately. So I would say for, you know, cloning a voice posthumously is probably a technology that's available, but the ones that I'm familiar with, you know, it's all something that people do, you know, before they, you know, lose their voice.
Hey, Paul. Joe. Hey. Myers. When I was first exposed to this, I know some of this technology is not all created equal. In some of the earlier ones, you could program in scripts and databases, you know, street names and politicians. Because when you think about it, some of the names here in Wisconsin would be very humorous to hear a text-to-speech, you know, try to attempt it. So how much customization, you know, how much can you add to the database, you know, for street names, politicians, and stuff like that?
Excellent question. Last year in a tour through this part of the country, we, you know, showed a handful of broadcasters the product, and that was their first question as well, was, you know, how well will it pronounce the cities that are in my market? And that's the best question you can ask. From what I have seen and the feedback that I've received from people that I've showed this technology to, they say it's phenomenal. It is indistinguishable from a local to that market pronouncing it. For times when it does fall short, you're absolutely right. A database of alternate pronunciations is available, and then a lexicon, which would it's effectively the same thing, but it's typically something that would be appended to the request and say, "Hey, this is the text that I want to speak, but this is the lexicon that I want to use." And you know, have the speech engine interpret that. The way we do it is the local database, and we have pronunciation fields that allow you to change that pronunciation. One of the principal reasons for that is not only are we correcting pronunciation for city names, street names, so on and so forth, but we're also changing a lot of things. Like we're giving, we're doing nicknames. Like instead of Minneapolis, St. Paul, we might say the Twin Cities, right? Instead of T-storms, we want to say thunderstorms, stuff like that. So there's definitely sort of an advantage to creating a more of a local database over using a lexicon, but then there are times too where a lexicon will, you know, be more robust.
Got another text. To clone a human voice, how long of a recording sample is needed? Does the voice read a specific script in order to clone all the letter sounds?
Great question. So, yes, there's very specific scripts that are typically put together, by the manufacturers of technology that do the voice cloning. So there is a very specific script that they want you to use in order to capture all the various phonemes. In terms of the time that it takes, from what I understand, it varies quite greatly. There's different qualities of voice cloning, and some which are going to be lower quality, not as broadcast or broadcast quality, or not as mission critical. Something like a phone tree or something along those lines, where you might have a handful of people using it, but it's nothing terribly important. And then you've got, certainly broadcast quality. I can say that the script for low quality version takes about 3 or 4 hours to kind of work through. It's not even an all day task, really. Although it is quite tedious to do, but of course that's a one time thing. The higher quality, that's going to take a substantial amount of time, and but of course that's what's required for that higher quality file.
How long does it take to create it once it gets a text? Because I was wondering, years ago with the old tape automation tapes, they used to post a pre-announced title of a song, say here's such and such playing, and if the automation system gave you the title for the next song, could it compose it and play it?
Absolutely. In fact, the way in which I would propose that be done is, instead of asking for real-time metadata, the solution could instead get a copy of that playlist ahead of time and start to, even if it's an hour or half hour in advance, start to plug in those voice tracks, those song title and artist. So that can absolutely be done. I will say that the speech synthesis is, it's never real time. It's never instantaneous, I should say. But it is very, very quick. So, a couple of seconds, we'll get that audio file synthesized. In terms of a broadcast environment, a mission critical environment, my recommendation, for that particular application would be something that, essentially looks ahead in the playlist, understands, what's being played, what song is it coming out of, how do we back sell that, front sell this next song, and segue into other content. Alrighty. With that, I will thank you all for attending, and hope to see you all very soon.